much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you ready?
Yes.
No, babe. Are you ready?
Yes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
That's disgusting.
Oh, I see. So you don't want to see a close-up picture of my anus because you hate gay men.
No, I don't want to look at a close-up picture of anyone's anus.
Homophobe.
Yeah, don't talk to strangers on the bus.
Oh, my God. We are so random.
JetBlue, guy in a seat 4A on this flight to Austin is snoring, and it sounds like a donkey farting into a bowl of mayonnaise. Shame on you.
And now.
Venus a douchebag. 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 Like Lisa.
Our feature presentation.
You missed a lot, Lisa.
I sure did.
In a couple days.
Wow.
How are you feeling?
Better. A lot better.
Lisa had the Black Death.
I did.
And
I said, was hucking up a lung.
I could probably come in, but I would get you all sick. Another good one.
Well, it's true.
It may be true as well. But it's another good one because that kicks in all of us going, oh, you know what? I don't want to get sick.
I mean, I felt not like I couldn't get up and get dressed.
Right.
But I was coughing a lot and it was, but then yesterday I really did feel like I couldn't get up and get dressed. So.
Well, that's pretty quick, by the way, 2 days.
Yeah. I'm proud of me.
You should be.
Was it tough to keep your photos off of Facebook of you scuba diving and whatever you were doing on Monday and Tuesday? Because I would think that would be the hardest thing. You want to brag. You want to brag about the stuff you're doing, but you can't put it on your page because that reveals that you're not sick.
It's almost like you didn't do it. It's almost not worth it.
Exactly.
But not
What's
quite.
The point?
Not quite.
I don't think the Kevin and Bean show should go on if Lisa's not in, by the way.
Should we all just be gone?
I think the policy should be if Lisa's out, we're all out.
You know, there are shows that do like, if there's like partners and one's sick, the other doesn't come on either. So
I like
it. We could do that.
I think we need the Lisa rule. I really do.
I'm not
it doesn't
sick
happen
that
very
often, right? Yeah.
No,
you're not sick
that
enough for that, though, Bean. We need somebody who's sick all the time. That way we're all off all the time.
More
anyone's
reliable.
Sick.
Yeah. I could
work on it. I'm just saying it's sad when you're gone, Lisa.
Thank you.
That's
Bean,
all. It's just sad. Anyway, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday. It's already the 15th of January. Here's a story. You know how you see those commercials for various products, that medical products with a side effect of an erection that lasts more than 4 hours? We've all seen those commercials, laughed at those commercials, joked about those commercials.
Right.
And I guess we didn't realize how serious it is if you have an erection that lasts more than 4 hours. Apparently, it can be very dangerous.
Can I just butt in here and say, this isn't about you, right?
Most definitely is not.
Okay.
It's not about me.
Continue.
This is a man in Australia who was involved in a mountain bike accident. He fell on the crossbar of his mountain bike.
Ouch.
And he was in a great deal of pain, had a great deal of bruising. But within a few days of the accident, he developed in what is referred to by the physicians as a rigid erection. Now, you would think, first of all, that's weird. I don't understand the blood flow that would create something like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
He was in no way aroused. This story has nothing to do with sexuality. This is just an erection beyond his control.
Maybe he just loved that bike.
Well, I don't know. Perhaps. Maybe there's something mental going on. One of the most surprising parts of this story is the next paragraph that begins, 5 weeks later, the man finally sought help at the hospital.
No way.
So he had a continuous erection?
Rigid?
Yes.
For five weeks.
Wow.
Didn't he see the commercials that said if an erection persists more than 4 hours, go to your doctor? 5 weeks he waited to go.
He had to ask somebody, a friend, somebody, what do you think I should do?
Let's say you didn't see the commercial and you don't have any friends. After a full week.
After a day, don't you go?
I mean, can you go to the bathroom?
That's what I was thinking also, is they don't even address that in the article. How does he pee?
Probably not.
You can't.
He
right?
have to. You can't not pee for 5 weeks. He must have been able to eke it out. So he goes to the hospital. He's diagnosed with high flow priapism. No other injuries, by the way, but priapism is just the medical term for an erection that lasts more than 3 hours, which is usually very painful. It was an anxious time for the patient, as it would be for any young man, said Dr. Roden Brown, a radiologist at the hospital. Doctors first tried to treat the man's condition with, quote unquote, manual compression that gave him temporary relief.
This is where it gets bad.
but his penis rapidly refilled with blood to full tumescence. So they tried that. It works temporarily. Ah, he's so relieved that, boom, right back up. For the next 2 weeks, he was treated with a pressure dressing. But as soon as it was removed, his erection sprang back again. Oh, this guy has an erection that will not quit, by the way.
Man, oh, man. There's a lot of old people in this country he should share that with.
Why didn't he just have the world's most awesome porn career for the course of those 2 months, right? The man's problem was finally cowed into submission when hospital staff inserted gel foam and four tiny platinum coils into the abdominal connection between an artery and a vein that supplies blood to the penis, which had been damaged in the bike accident, and that has been effective. We are very happy with the outcome, Dr. Brown said. The man reported back 1 month after the procedure and says that he's back to normal.
Wow.
Everything's fine now. So, mission accomplished.
I thought he might lose it.
Yeah, well.
In all that time.
Yeah, that would be a real concern. Absolutely.
By the way, in the very next time there's a super hot chick, you know, walking by, or you meet her at work or something, and you start getting an erection, you go, oh, no.
Yes. I bet you are terrified the first time you get a regular erection. Absolutely, yeah. So how did they figure this out? I've never heard of this before. Not that I see a lot of this sort of story, but the gel foam and tiny platinum coils that they put in to kind of redirect the blood.
I've never heard of that.
Thank God they came up with something. But anyway, that's a 7-week erection that young man in Australia endured. So there you go.
There you go.
Good times.
Not good times.
Good day.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
You are worth nothing. You're ugly. Everything that has ever gone wrong in your life is your fault because God hates you.
That's rough.
That's possible, though.
I know.
But that's why we bring in funny people. Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage. We have Allie Reed, who writes for crack.com. She put an online dating profile that was the worst one that she could possibly think of and got responses out the ass.
Because she's hot?
No.
She used a model's photo.
There you go. Michael Rosenbaum will be in the studio talking about his movie Back in the Day. Okay. Very excited about that. We're going to talk to Heidi Klum about America's Got Talent. We are going to give you the update on Justin Bieber.
What's up with Justin?
Little Sav or whatever his friend's name is.
Little Za.
Lisa,
you missed it yesterday, but they had a basically a SWAT team show up at Justin's house, raided the place. 11 police officers raided the place yesterday, tracking down evidence in this egg throwing.
Tell her why. Did you see why?
Well, I heard about
the eggs. Yeah.
That was last week.
Right. But
so what they do, SWAT team into the refrigerator?
Essentially, yeah. Essentially, they searched the whole house looking for evidence. They're investigating this case, and there was a drug arrest made on the premises. We'll tell you all about it.
All right. That's coming up as well with a brand new internet roundup this morning. So stick around. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
He was driving 110 miles per hour in Florida and got pulled over by the CHP.
Okay.
And the guy pretty much...
Now, why were the California Highway Patrol in Florida?
That is a great question.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
Good time.
Everybody's CHP. Everybody.
Ralph, have you met Lisa, the new traffic girl?
No.
Hi,
she's
Ralph.
Hot, though. She's...
Lisa, this is Ralph Garman.
Thank you. I've heard a lot about you. It's really nice to meet
you.
Good
time.
Hope you guys will enjoy working together. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Oh, it's all about the Biebs and the cops and the blow and the eggs.
Yes.
It's my favorite book out of the Narnia series.
That is a good one.
The Biebs and the cops and the blow and the eggs. yesterday, as we covered towards the end of the show, cops were showing up at Bieber's house to look for evidence in the case of felony vandalism that is being brought against him. But meanwhile, they found one of his buddies, little Za, with some coke on him. Busted him for cocaine.
Wow.
Let me get a survey of the room. How many people think that he was the fall guy, little Za? That Justin said, somebody needs to hold this or we need to flush it because...
But didn't they just bust in?
The drugs were in plain view. It wasn't
Them
on in his pocket or something.
All right. I didn't know. Like, you would think a guy like Justin Bieber would be more than willing to throw some of his friends under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cops say Justin was present at the time and very cooperative with their investigation.
Guys, if you were wealthy and famous like Justin Bieber is, would you have a gaggle of guys, Little Za and Little Windex we met yesterday, yeah. and Little Twist?
Really?
Would you have all those guys constantly living in your house? I wouldn't.
Well, no,
but it's not about it. 8 o'clock would. In the morning.
No, but
8 o'clock in the morning. Why is Little Za over at Justin Bieber's house?
No, but you're a loner.
Yeah,
I would think if I was.
I hung with all my friends when I was a teenager. We hung out constantly.
It'd be a party house, yeah. No question.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I'd have any people. And I'd give Little Za the drugs as well.
Sure, well, Little Za gets all the best drugs. Everybody knows that. Charlie Sheen, her is a new girlfriend. Brett Rossi, the porn star that the rumor was he was married to, and they said they were kidding.
Right.
She is causing a hard time for his second ex-wife, Denise Richards. Apparently, a lot of jealousy there, and so she's pressuring Charlie to distance himself from Denise, who, remember, not only is raising his daughters, but also took custody of his two sons.
Yes.
With his other wife.
Right.
As well, and dealt with that while she was in rehab. Pressuring her to create some distance, so Charlie has apparently served her with eviction papers since he owns the 9,000-square-foot house where Denise lives with their two daughters. And has recently compared her to a pig on Twitter.
Well,
he's a good guy.
That might be a little rough.
It's spectacular. Speaking of celebrities and parenthood, have you seen that YouTube video with the kid who looks exactly like Conan O'Brien?
Yes.
Claiming that Conan O'Brien is his father. He's the illegitimate son of Conan O'Brien.
No.
Now, is he claiming it for real, or is he making a joke about it?
It's hard to distinguish when you watch the video whether he's making a joke about it or whether he's claiming that he is actually the son
right.
of Conan O'Brien. But Conan took no... Didn't wait at all until he tweeted a denial to the video.
Okay.
Saying that... I want to share with you... that a kid in New Jersey is falsely claiming to be my illegitimate son. For the record, I have three children, Nave, Beckett, and Ronan Farrow, of course, who is the son of Mia Farrow and Woody Allen, who also may be the son of Frank Sinatra, so he's doing a joke there. But, yeah, no one's really sure if this guy's real or not, although he looks exactly like him.
He sure does.
And he does all his mannerisms and stuff. It's almost like he's doing an impression,
right.
you know, but who knows whether he's kidding or not. He's got one legitimate moment in the video where he says his mother worked at NBC at 30 Rock during the time where Conan would have been there at Saturday Night Live, so... Sounds
well,
like a money grab to me, but who knows?
You can't trust anything that comes out of Ginger's mouth, Ralph. You know that.
That's true. And this is sad news. Last season for the FX show, Justified.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, the show will end after its sixth season. Next year, a decision from the creator and executive producer, Graham Yost, and Timothy Olyphant have decided that although there were financial incentives to keep going, 6 years felt just about right. They said, so after the next season, that'll be the last one for Justified. I don't know if you guys watched it or not, but good show.
I like that show.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Mario Van Peebles is 57 years old today. Chad Lowe turns 46. Regina King is 43. Eddie Cahill is 36 years old today. Pitbull! You party on Pitbull! You party on Bud Light music! Pitbull! He's 33 years old today. And Skrillex celebrates his 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So it was pretty exciting yesterday at Bieber's house when all those cops showed up. That was kind of unexpected. It seemed like maybe there were a lot of resources being used in the egg throwing incidents that may have been better used throughout Southern California, doesn't it?
But as we saw the LA sheriffs pull up to his house, we did understand, I think it was on TMZ, that if they find anything else in the house, he could be in trouble for that as well since they have a search warrant.
Ha-ha. And apparently that's what happened. So we wanted to find out from inside the house what that perspective was like. So we go to our friend Justin Bieber, who joins us on the phone right now. Unfortunately, he has not yet been deported, as we are all hoping. He is still in America. Good morning, Justin.
That's right, eh? I'm still here. Why all the questions, bro?
I haven't asked any yet.
Not one yet.
Oh, you're swag.
Yeah. Right. So, Justin, what are you doing yesterday morning around 8:15 or so when all of a sudden the sirens come around your house? What was going on in your place?
I don't know, yo. I was just like... Smells like bacon. Yeah, pigs are coming, yo.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That reminds me, Joel McHale was on Conan last night, and he said, why is Justin Bieber pulling pranks from the 1950s?
Yeah.
That seems like an odd choice to be egging people.
Because it causes $20,000 worth of damage, yo.
Which,
What can you do that causes $20,000 worth of damage? Mm-hmm. Swag.
Right, but I would think that you would not want to cause $20,000 worth of damage because now you might be held liable for that and could be convicted of a felony because
when I egg you, you stay egged, bitch.
Right. We're not talking about the house. We're just so you don't have to do it again is what you're saying. But did they find any proof in your house? Did they leave with any partially filled egg cartons or anything else?
How could they find anything? Because I didn't do anything, yo. I'm
innocent. Now you're saying you didn't do it.
I'm innocent, yo.
Well, they have your voice on tape screaming. It sounds just like you, Justin. You do live next door. There are multiple witnesses who say they saw you throwing the eggs.
Dude, lots of people do my voice. People on morning radio shows do my voice, yo. You can't say it's me.
I've never heard anyone try to impersonate you, Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that's absurd. Eh? That's absurd.
Why can't it be like that?
Now, they also found what they originally thought was cocaine. They think it might now be Molly and Xanax. And it looks like the fall guy is Lil Za. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Lil Za.
Lil Za is my homie, you know, eh?
Right.
And, you know, the man's just keeping him down. Like they're keeping me down because we black.
Okay, I don't know where to start with that.
They're just coming at us because we black.
No, but you're not. You're not black.
They were coming at you because you threw eggs, and then they found...
Oh, black man can't throw eggs. Yo.
Not at a house. You're not black. Stop it. I'm just saying, was it Lil Za's drugs, or was he a convenient fall guy for you? Somebody has to hold on to the Molly and the Xanax, or I'm going to jail.
It wasn't Lil Za's drugs, because those drugs belong to another dude.
Who?
Lil Llama. Come on, Llama. Pick up your drugs after yourself, eh?
Was Little Llama also in the house? Were you having some sort of a rapper slumber party at your place?
Well, you know, the boys come over, we get together, and we experiment in my studio and create new sounds.
Right.
Because that's how we roll. Because, once again, we black.
Okay. You're not...
Little Llama's black, too.
Little Llama's black?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bro, you know.
Was Lil Llama there? Was he there during the bust?
He says no.
No, he was not there.
Okay. All right.
And talk to his lawyer.
Okay. Meanwhile, Lil Za's the one who got arrested, though.
Yeah.
So do you feel... Yes, Lil Llama?
He's saying you should get out of this bit, yo. Going on too long.
Okay. That Red Bull sound space down the hall, around the corner from the K-Rock Studios, is a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's great.
Tiny place. We have great big bands in there. Arctic Monkeys recently. The band Haim from, I think they're British, aren't they, those girls? They're very talented, enormously talented. They're going to be performing in the Red Bull sound space today at 1 o'clock. This is one of those deals where we give away tickets on the air and through KROQ.com. We kind of stuff it with people who are excited about seeing that act, and then they come down and they cram into a tiny little room. It's like having a nightclub in the middle of the day. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you're seeing a concert like you'd see at a nightclub at 11 o'clock at night. It's awesome.
Yeah,
and
it's
the
really
person
cool.
The person furthest back is 30 feet from the band.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Tiny little place. Got our own performance space right here at Carrick. So Haim is going to be there today. I know a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners are super into them, and their debut album is out, and it is great. That's going to be at 1 o'clock today. You can watch that for free online at KROQ.com as it happens live, and then we will stream it for 24 hours after the end of the broadcast, too. So if you don't get a chance to watch it live, you can actually watch it at your convenience.
Remember last season when Taylor Williamson came on the show, and we were all voting for him, and he came in second?
Yeah.
Taylor is awesome. We love him.
So does Heidi Klum.
Yeah, that's true. She did.
Hey, Heidi.
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Great to have you back on the show. We're just talking about your boyfriend, Taylor Williamson. You guys still keep in touch?
Taylor. No, he has moved on already. He forgot about me already.
Oh, I doubt it.
That was so funny. I mean... It's got to be difficult to make any kind of a connection with the short time that you have to interact with some of your contestants on stage in America's Got Talent. But for whatever reason, you two just locked eyes and a love affair was born. And it was so fun throughout the season to watch you guys kind of go back and forth and flirt. And I think you ended up making out at one point, didn't you?
We kind of did a little bit. I mean, yeah, it was weird. You know, I mean, Taylor is such a lovable person, and he was funny, and I don't know. It just kind of evolved into this love affair. I don't know how that happened.
That's how it works. Make them laugh, make them breakfast. That's what they say.
He was not shy. He was not shy, and he had kind of this, he was a little bit dorky, and but cute at the same time, and he made these silly faces. I mean, how could you not love him, you know?
Yeah, we love him, too. We have him on the program all the time as a guest. Now, do you find yourself...
You have to tell him. Why does he never call me? He has.
We will.
He never wanted to give me his.
Wow. Wow, awesome. I just lost all respect for him.
Do you find yourself rooting for, like, personally rooting for some of these contestants? Like, you get seriously invested in them? Or do you just think, look, you know, lean back and think big picture, hey, what's good for the show?
No, I fight for the people that I love. I love the Chicago boys, for example. I did love Kenichi, and yes, Kenichi won, but I always saw that he had something that was special and different. I mean, he showed us all a different kind of dance that I hadn't seen before. It was like Matrix and modern, and it was just so unusual that, you know, I was like, well, he really stands out. And when you see 40, 50 acts a day, and then you see someone like that come on the stage, you're like, wow, there is truly someone, you know, that is unique and different, and I pay money to see that, and I pay for a flight to go to Vegas and a room, and I want to see that for an hour long. You know, I think people always have to put themselves into, you know, someone's shoes or our shoes and say, yeah, I want to see more of that, and I fly to Vegas to see that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
This is the voice of Heidi Klum on the phone. She's a judge, of course, in America's Got Talent, which is returning this summer on NBC. If you want to be on the show, the reason Heidi is joining us today is because the auditions are beginning this weekend in Houston, but they're going to be in Southern California at the Los Angeles Biltmore on February 8th and 9th. You can audition online at AGTAuditions.com, AGTAuditions.com, or you can go down and do it in person at the Los Angeles Biltmore on February 8th and 9th. What kind of acts do you not see enough of? Like, what would you like to see at those auditions in Los Angeles next month that don't usually show up on the TV show, Heidi?
I mean, I love them all. And,
no, you don't.
I love the contortionist. I do.
You can't love them all. Some of them are terrible.
I love the contortionist. I okay. love the magicians. You know, I sit there and I'm like, how do they do that? I want to figure it out. You know, and I love to be surprised. And sometimes I love the silly acts too. You know, the silly acts, they don't really make it far, but sometimes it's so fun to have someone who does something completely, you know, from a different planet, so to speak, where you sit there and you're like, really? You're making orange juice on your bra? What is that? You know, but I remember this guy, he had toilet plungers and he was throwing them across the stage on naked dudes' backs, hairy backs. He was throwing toilet plungers and he was trying them for them to stick. I'm like, what is that? You know, so those kind of people do stick in your mind too. Obviously they don't go far, but still it's fun and it makes us all laugh. And I think people at home want to see that too.
You do have to think though, at some point they came up with that idea. Somebody was, you know, probably drinking and they said, we should take toilet plungers.
Let me throw a toilet plunger at you.
It's absurd. The other guy goes, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised every year that, well, look, all of the people on your judges panel are, you know, busy. Obviously, Howie and Howard both have busy jobs, but I'm always surprised when you come back because it seems like you certainly don't need the work. There must be something about it that you really, really enjoy for you to commit so much time to America's Got Talent.
I really love the show. Before, you know, I spend the time watching it at home from the couch. So I spend the time no matter what. You know, so I watched it with my kids before. They loved the show, and I got glued, too, because I wanted to see all the different acts come onto the stage. And, you know, last year I did it for the first time, and I'm so excited and happy and honored that they asked me back. I love the panel. I love Howard. I love Mel. I love Howie. You know, we're laughing all day, and it is such a great group, and I'm super proud to be part of it.
It is.
Who wouldn't want to be on the show? It is awesome. It's really great.
It is interesting that the chemistry that you guys seem to have as judges and the fight that some of the other shows, the singing shows and different stuff, yeah. they keep trying to change up the judges to try and mm-hmm. get good chemistry. And you guys seem to have nailed it, and you all kind of like each other.
No, we don't kind of like each other. We like each other. I mean, you know, sometimes we get on each other's nerves, and I know I get on Howard's nerves, and, you know, he said afterwards, he's like, that Heidi Klum, man, she can't stop singing. All she does is sing all day long next to me. He said, and I, because I heard that, because he talked about it on his radio show, he's like, I even told the producers they should come over and say, we can't clear the songs that she's singing. Guess what I'm going to do this year?
Yep.
I'm going to be singing even more. I'm going to start first day. I'm going to be sitting there, Howard, la 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 la.
Yeah, that is.
Even more.
That's the wrong thing to say, is that she sings too much, because that just makes you want to sing more.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're almost out of time here, Heidi. We're so glad you came on. Audition in person at the Los Angeles Biltmore February 8th and 9th. That's in Los Angeles, or you can audition online at agtaauditions.com. And by the way, I wanted to mention, I think it's fascinating. You are a former Victoria's Secret Angel. You are a former Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. You're in a family fraternity for life with those kinds of people. Didn't you just have another SI party last night where you and all the girls continue to get together?
We did. We celebrated 50 years of Sports Illustrated last night, and I hosted the show. It was going to be airing on NBC, and it was awesome to see all the girls again, and even the first model ever, Babette March, was there. She's, I think, in her 70s, and she did the very first swimsuit cover many years ago. It was awesome to see everyone, Kathy Ireland and Christie Brinkley and Kate Upton and Tyra. It was amazing.
I mean,
they all were there. It was so great.
If you have to go to a party, I guess that's a good one.
It was an awesome party. I mean, you look to the right, everyone looks beautiful. You look to the left, everyone is beautiful.
Right. I just love it that when you become an SI cover model, it's like a fraternity you're in for life, like an ex-president's club. You know, they can't take that away from you. It's just super fun. Well, that sounds like a great show, too. So we'll look forward to that. Heidi, always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Very talented director, writer, actor Michael Rosenbaum joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
Trailer for his upcoming movie looks really entertaining.
It does.
I'm looking forward to seeing this film.
Looks good. Great cast, too.
Yeah. Let's talk about Justin Bieber, shall we?
More bad news, I hope?
Well, not really. Unless you're Little Za.
Yeah.
His buddy, who was staying in his home at the time of yesterday's raid, did get busted for drug possession. Initially, they thought it was cocaine. Now they're saying it could be Molly or
Ecstasy.
Yeah, right. So, we'll have to wait and see, but no word on whether they found any evidence regarding Justin's felony vandalism charges. We'll have to wait and see on that, too. But there's always hope.
Somehow he's got to be in jail, and somebody has to ask him what for, and he has to say, throwing eggs at my neighbor.
Egging?
That's crazy.
More performers have been added to the Grammys musical lineup. The Grammys, of course, will be handed out on January the 26th in Brooklyn. CBS will carry it live. Taylor Swift, John Legend, Macklemore, and Ryan Lewis. Keith Urban will all take the stage during the event. And it looks like Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr will be taking the stage as they celebrate the Beatles that weekend as well. So, good times. Could be a reunion of Jerry Seinfeld and Jason Alexander, the old Seinfeld co-stars. TMZ.com saw them and a camera crew together at Tom's Restaurant, which was the diner.
Oh, was it?
It was the basis for the diner in the...
what they're calling it?
Sorry.
Just go ahead.
Monk's was the name of the restaurant on the show, but Tom's Diner was the restaurant they based it on in New York City. Speculation is the duo is filming a new commercial for the Super Bowl.
All right. That makes sense.
I can see that. Makes more sense than playing whatever audio was you were just playing.
That was strange.
A little bit more.
Giselle Bundchen's getting a hard time from people because a photo was released of her driving with her one-year-old daughter, Vivian, on an ATV ride in Costa Rica where her kid's not wearing a helmet and mom is steering with just one hand. And people are saying those ATVs are dangerous and your kid was...
What could go wrong?
...put at serious risk with your lackluster behavior. Giselle is defending herself by saying, look, I am incredibly rich. If I lose this daughter, I'll buy a new one. So, and she has an excellent point there, when you think about it, really. The Jacksons are coming back. Woo! Woo!
The Michael Jackson's family?
But not all of them, right, Ralph?
Yeah, not all of them, no. This Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino is becoming the love boat of music acts. First, they had Britney Spears sitting down there for a while. She's going to perform there. And then they announced that Meatloaf will be an artist in residency there for a short period of time. And now the Jacksons have been added to do a series of 40 concerts at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Vegas. Jermaine, Tito, Jackie, and Marlon. No Randy, no peace. That's what I always say. I'm not going to this show.
No Janet, no.
Well, nope. They weren't the Jacksons.
No Reby.
Reby and Janet weren't really the Jacksons.
All right.
It was always the boys plus Randy. You know, the original Jackson 5, and then right. You had Randy and Carlos and Pippa. Pippa Jackson.
Is that right? Yeah, I didn't know there was a Pippa.
He was also on there, too. Huh. So if you want to see the Jacksons sing all their hits without their lead singer, then you can go to Vegas beginning February the 20th. You can check that out. I'm holding out for the loaf. Today's celebrity birthdays. Skrillex is 26 years old today. Rapper Pitbull turns 33. Actor Eddie Cahill is 36 years old today. Regina King. How good was she on Southland?
Oh, great.
She was heartbreaking.
Loved that role.
She was awesome.
Loved that show. I miss it still. 43 years old today. Chad Lowe is 46. And Mario Van Peebles celebrates his 57th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Talk about the return of an old friend on the Kevin and Bean Show. We used to love having Michael Rosenbaum on back in the Smallville days. He is back with a brand new film that he wrote and directed called Back in the Day. Michael Rosenbaum joins us.
Thank you, guys. Hey, I want to give a shout out to my brother. He loves you guys. Eric Rosenbaum out there. He's up, and he loves you.
Why is he up?
Because he loves you guys. He listens like, dude, Kevin Bean, they're talking about you. I'm like, really? Awesome.
Somebody well, it's good, is. Good to see you, Michael. How have you been?
You know, I've been pretty fancy. I've been
pretty fancy is not a normal answer for that question.
I've been pretty good. You know what? I've been just doing the rounds, doing press. I just got back from Indiana where I shot the movie back in the day, and all my hometown boys and friends were there, and it's just been a real treat, very surrealistic time in my life.
Now, before we talk about the movie, and I know it was important for you to shoot in your old hometown in India, let's talk about growing up in Indiana. Where were you? What city?
Newburgh in Evansville, Indiana.
All right, and what's your life like growing up there? Is it a small-ish town?
Yeah, I think in Newburgh there was like under 3,000 people. And I mean, honestly, we used to cut through yards and drink out of garden hoses and catch fireflies and TP people's houses and play wiffle ball. Oh, eggs and soap. But, see, that's innocent. I mean, now they have drive-bys, so...
Yeah.
You know, it's good to, you know, do a little toilet paper.
So was it kind of a, you know, kind of a safe, all-American kind of growing up hometown?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. But, you know, it's weird because we had this weird, you know, just neighborhood in South Broadview where I live. Two blocks away, there's a guy who went to prison for killing somebody. And
all right.
And there was a dude who got shredded. You know, in a shredder. Why am I talking about that? I
mean,
but there was a dark side in this little innocent from that Erie, Indiana, that show Erie, Indiana.
Yes.
But there was some dark moments. But, you know, for the most part, it was, you know, it was pretty laid back.
Do most people do that go to high school in that town? Do they can't wait to graduate so they can get the hell out and move away? Or do a lot of people stay in Indiana?
Most of my friends are still there. They, you know, they're raising families and... You know, I go back for wiffle ball tournaments to raise money for charity and play wiffle ball every year. And
that's a good reason to go back.
It is, right? You drink some beer, and I got to tell you, I miss it. I do. I go. You know, what am I missing here? I mean, I have a nice life here, but I'm 41. I'm single. What is going on with me? I'm a loser.
It is interesting. I mean, I guess I understand why people get used to where they grow up. They get used to where they live. They develop friends. Maybe they marry someone in the neighborhood, and they never move. I'm always a little bit surprised how many people still live within a couple of miles of where they grew up, though. I'm always surprised that more people don't move around the country a little bit and see what else the U.S. has to offer.
Well, you hear that, but then you also hear people say, I had to get out. I couldn't stay in that location. So maybe it's just the time you had when you lived there.
Well, I was a bit of an extrovert, and I was always like, you know, even I remember telling jokes that weren't funny, and they were just a little bit – I was just a little bit off. And like, that Rosenbaum, he's the kid wearing a cardigan who's too short and hasn't started puberty yet. I don't know about that guy.
Maybe he needs to wear a helmet.
And then I did wear a helmet for a while. But I was just going to say that, yeah, I mean – it was tough, but I remember doing a play in high school, and it was like, finally, I got attention from the popular kids who are like, you're pretty funny. And I go, really? Wow. So not being me
important.
Is good.
That's important.
I think a lot of actors probably go through that. But, yeah, I felt like, okay, then I got to act. So I'm accepted here. So that, you know, I eventually had to get out.
So did you move from Indiana to L.A. to try to make it as an actor?
Well, I went to Western Kentucky University, the Hilltoppers. You know the Hilltoppers?
Oh, the Big Hilltoppers Red? Rule.
Oh, no. I'm looking at him. He has no clue. He's like, Hilltoppers? What are you talking about? Is this Lord of the Rings moment?
None whatsoever.
Yeah. No, and then from there, I went to New York and started getting some gigs. I did a sketch comedy on Conan O'Brien and booked a gig that brought me out to L.A. And I did the Tom Arnold Show, which was ranked 132 out of 133 shows.
Sweet. In a bad way.
But he's one of my buddies now, and he got me out here, and you know, here I am,
and here you are, so making a living as an actor, now as a writer, as a director.
I mean,
all right. So wow. You wanted, when you came up with this idea for Back in the Day, and this is actor Michael Rosenbaum here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's about a guy who goes back to his hometown for his high school reunion, right?
Yep.
And you wanted to make it in Indiana, even though everyone said you should just make it in L.A. It'd be easier, right?
Yeah, well, you know, there's the thing called the tax credit, and they're like, you can get money and 25% back and all these things. We can make it look like an – you have no idea. You're not from Indiana. You can't look – there's no sense of community here, is there? No, I mean, look, I do love Los Angeles, but I had to go back. I said if I'm going to fail – it's going to be on my watch. I'm going to do it in Indiana.
The way you want to do it.
And the way I remembered. I remember the Pizza King, and I want to cruise Green River Road. And I really want, can I get away with this? Can I do this?
But let me ask you this, because I've found that when you go back to try and capture whatever magic you had in that day, it's just hollow. Like you go back for a reunion, you see a bunch of people, you go, hey, how you doing? And they go, hey, fine. And then you're out. You know what I mean? Like, I got nothing else to say now.
Yeah, you know what?
It could be super negative.
In the movie, there's those awkward moments where it's like, hey, Angie Kramer, good to see you. You know, I still go back. So it wasn't like that. And when I said I'm doing a movie there, they embraced me. I've never seen anything like it. They were like, we'll close down Green River Road, which doesn't take a lot.
Right.
But, I mean, you're not closing
we'll
down
stop 405.
I mean, we had to shoot guerrilla filmmaking to shoot the 405 in the opening of the movie. I mean, we were just, if we got busted, it would have cost us the whole budget of the movie. But then we ended up, you know, but in Indiana, they were like, take them all. Take Pizza King. Here's a 50% off Strong. Strombolis. Have you ever had a Stromboli? Go to Indiana, have a Pizza King Strong.
I'm not going to Indiana for pizza. I got to be honest.
My friend Phil gave me his house. He went and stayed at a hotel with his family and two little girls and let me destroy his house for a week.
You're the king of Indiana now.
I am the king of a town of 3,000 people. I have made it.
Did you put any of your actual high school friends in the movie?
Yeah. You know, I was just talking to Jessica, my assistant, about this. And, you know, I showed up for the premiere, you know, a little late, not L.A. late,
right?
But a little late, and people were already there, because you don't want to be the first one there. And there were people being interviewed already. And I noticed one of my friends who I portray in the movie, this guy Freeman. And Nick Swartzen, who's a genius, plays this guy Freeman. And Nick wears a do-rag, and he's always got a big guzzler with Jack and Coke in his cup.
Right.
And I look, and he's doing an interview, and he's got his do-rag on.
Nice.
Real guy.
Nice.
He's like, yeah, man, I did this movie, and... I'm like, wait a minute, you're just a character. And he was being interviewed before I even got there. How did he even know to get interviewed?
That's awesome.
But it was, I mean, I'm telling you, the town was alive. But all my buddies are in the movie. My buddy T, Isaiah Mustafa, who's the Old Spice guy.
Yep.
He's all chiseled. So I made him gain a few pounds, wear glasses and a goatee, because I can never hang with a guy that was that chiseled.
Right.
I just don't belong with that group. I'm not that cool. So I'm like, you got to gain some weight. And so he played my friend T, who I grew up with, and T was the dance choreographer for our line dancing in the reunion. So everybody just joined forces and helped out.
So most of the characters were based on real people in the town that you grew up in?
Some of them. I mean, not other.
Did any of them get upset?
No. Well, really? it was just the guys. The four guys are really the guys that were... that I modeled some of the, you know, the actors had to kind of study a little bit, but like the principal wasn't, I made up that character, and there's a couple other characters, but yeah, you know, we shot at my actual high school, Castle High School in Newburgh, Indiana.
So we'll close it down. You can have the whole thing.
Oh yeah, dude, close it down. We'll close classes.
Are you the most famous alum from Castle High?
No. Well, I don't know. It depends. You know, there's a guy Jamie Carroll who's played for the Dodgers. He's a buddy of mine. He's playing for Minnesota. But you know, and Mattingly's from Memorial High School, which is from Evansville.
Is that right?
Yeah. Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly.
Sure,
yeah,
how about that?
Coach of the Dodgers.
We should mention, this is the voice of Michael Rosenbaum here on the Kevin Vincent Show. We're talking about his new film called Back in the Day, which is available on demand, by the way, and on iTunes. But you're also doing a screening with people Friday night, is that right?
There will be people there.
I mean, like, at a movie theater.
It's nice because, you know, a lot of these movies, the studio movies, you know, they're made for $50 million. They have these P&A teams of $20 million. We don't have trailers on TV. We're relying on friends and family and social media to see this funny movie. So, yeah, we're playing at Universal City Walk starting Friday for a week, and I'm going to be there a couple of those nights. And Friday night for Q&A. And some of the cast will be there. So, I mean, it's exciting. It's we're trying to push this movie as much as we can. But, yeah, you can download it on iTunes for nothing and get some good laughs.
Well,
iTunes gives anything away for nothing. But
yeah,
right.
It's almost nothing. It's like $5.
All right, not bad.
What's $5? I'll give you the $5.
Okay, no, I wasn't complaining. I'm just saying.
We are happy to spread the word again. The film is called Back in the Day. Actor Michael Rosenbaum is here in studio with us, and we'll take a quick break. We return with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Back in the Day is the name of the film, available through iTunes right now or on demand on your various TV systems, or you can see it. Where did you say it? Universal AMC? Is that where you're going to be Friday night,
Michael? City Walk. I'll be there Friday night with a bunch of the cast members. Sarah Colonna, Harlan Williams, and, Marina Baccarin from Homeland.
Oh, is she unbelievable.
Why is she so hot?
Why is she so hot?
She's Brazilian hot. Waxed hot.
And who does she play to your character in the film?
She plays everybody has a lost love, the one that got away, and she's kind of that girl. But then you look at her and you're like, how did you even date this girl?
Yeah,
right. So hot.
That's so unrealistic.
And I saw in the trailer that she's engaged in this particular, right?
Yeah.
She's engaged when you meet her.
To a guy who had broken my leg in football back in the day. And I'm like, wait, you did? She goes, oh, yeah, we didn't even know it was the same guy. And so I'm like, you're an ass.
Now, Michael, I have a very serious question for you here because on Twitter, you very kindly pointed out that you were going to be joining us this morning on the program. And you said, I'm going on Kevin and Bean on Wednesday morning to talk Back in the Day and also farts. And that concerned me that's part of what has to happen here today. But what's going on?
Well, I always do the hashtag farts because I don't like to take myself too seriously. And farts are just – everybody does it.
Farts are funny.
Farts are funny, right?
Yeah. It's Lisa.
Yeah. You fart.
Yes.
Yeah. She does traffic
as
and she farts.
As often as I possibly can.
But yeah, well, in this
– Well, she tries to hide it.
Well, all women
do. Hide it.
That wasn't me. Really? Because it smells like cucumber salad.
I blame the dog.
I didn't have cucumber salad.
Good. Right on cue, Lisa. Well, nice.
Well, I can't do that.
In the movie, we have a thing called the Garvin. Now, back in Indiana and the Midwest, for those who – we used to like – when you're a kid, you can actually catch your fart. Give me a sound effect.
Okay.
And you – right?
You want to catch that one?
Yeah, I just caught it. And now – give me a whoosh sound.
I can't.
We're not prepared for any whoosh sound you want.
There it is, and you can throw it at people. I had a friend who had the gift of throwing. It's called the Garvin.
Okay? So you could capture it in your hand and then aim it and throw it at a person's
face. So we used to do that. So I said, and this is a perfect Harlan Williams who plays this guy Skunk, based on a guy I grew up with. He actually teaches his son the art of Garvining. He's like, this is what you want to do, buddy. All right, he's the guy from Dumb and Dumber. You drinking on some of Grandpa's cough medicine, are you, buddy? So he takes the Garvin, and you want to just put it right there in the Tom Selleck. Right there in the old catfish hunter, buddy. And it's just genius scene that, you know, I just watching him do it. But in the beginning of the movie, the girls are like, really? Fart throwing? I'm like, hey, you signed on to do this.
Yeah.
You
should have read the script.
But at the end of the movie, you got Marina throwing Garvins and
all
that.
Oh,
no. No, she didn't fart. She just did the motion. Yeah. That would have been awesome.
She seems too classy to be involved in any of your Garvin nonsense.
Yeah, but she's got a good sense of humor. All the girls had a good sense of humor. I mean, look, we didn't have enough money for a trailer for each actress, so everybody shared a trailer. Guy's trailer, girl's trailer.
All right.
It was like summer camp, and everybody got really close really fast. They had no choice with the Garvins and everything going on. I mean, it was a real treat.
Can you tell us the total money that it took you to make this movie?
I'd say under $1 million.
Under $1 million?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, we had no tax credit, so it was crazy.
And you wrote it.
I did.
When did you write it?
I probably wrote it around 8 or 10 years ago, and I kind of put it on the shelf. I didn't think anything would happen. And then when another movie that I was trying to direct, an independent, and this is the difference between independent and studios, fell apart, we lost our money, financing, we're left with what do we do now? And so we kind of did a U-turn and just said, how about we just make this little movie in Indiana? It's one-fourth of the budget. We could do this. Let's get some of my friends and go have fun because, you know, I just want to make films. I want to have fun. I want to work with my friends. And it was, you know, that's why I want people to support it. It's just like, this is what I came out here to do is just, you know, have fun. It's really difficult to make an independent film.
It is. I imagine. It's very difficult to make an independent film. You're absolutely right, Michael. And it seems like 98% of what's in theaters are big budget, tens of millions of dollars of movies. It's almost impossible for them to be seen, it seems like, anymore.
That's exactly right.
And there has to be a market for it. There have to be people who want to see small movies, right?
Well, thank God for being able to download movies.
Yeah.
VOD, I mean, and iTunes. I mean, without that, how do independent movies really survive? You play at the Lemley for a day, and everybody thinks independent movies always art movies.
Right.
Well, this isn't an art movie. This is actually a romantic, funny
comedy.
You're
throwing farts. I don't know. It sounds like an art movie.
It's a fa-art movie, okay, Cap?
That's right.
Here we go.
Exactly. That's right.
The film is called Back in the Day, again, available on iTunes, video on demand as well. Do you think you'll ever do a TV series again as a regular? I know you did, 10 years it ended up being, or 11 years on Smallville.
I did 7 years of Smallville, and then I came back for the series finale. But,
okay.
They just had this Scorsese was auditioning for this new potential series. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But, yeah, you know, the great thing about doing a series for a long time is now you can sit back and I can go make a movie and do these things. But
right. If
it's the right series, absolutely. I mean, I would love to do something like that. I'd love to do cable because you can get away with more.
You sure can.
And I enjoy – I think every actor would like to do cable. So they could swear a little
bit.
There's
so many good shows on cable, too,
aren't
there?
Oh, man. I got to catch up. I mean, I'm only on season one of Homeland. Breaking Bad was amazing. Yeah. I got to watch that King of Thrones or something. What is it?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Our king.
No, whatever.
Whatever. I haven't checked it out, but I will.
There's too much good stuff. That's the problem, to keep up with everything.
Yeah, and Smallville was a blast. I mean, you know, but, you know, I'd like to have hair in the next one.
Sure, sure.
That'd be cool.
I don't think you're shooting too high there.
No, I don't think that's too much to ask for.
That's acceptable.
Do you, I just have to ask the one follow-up Smallville question is, do you not get recognized a lot because you have hair, do you think?
I still do, but it's more, you know, I get recognized, but it's one of those things when people pass you and they're like, huh. And then they turn around and look at you and they point at you. Do I know you? And I go, didn't we go to college together? No.
Yeah. You know. No, they put it on you to tell them what you did. And then if you tell them what you did, they go, nope, not that.
Kevin, it's embarrassing, Kevin. You know, when they come up to you, this is the worst thing that I just don't know how to deal with it because I feel like I'm an ass.
Right.
They go, what have you been in?
And I don't
want to answer
that. You got to have your IMDb handy.
It's embarrassing because then you're saying, well, I was in this. And I'm like, nope. Not that. I was in this. Never seen it. Nope. Heard that was horrible.
Just started making stuff up.
So,
I was on Seinfeld for 8 years.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I say, have you seen Saving Private Ryan? They're like, yes. I'm like, I was not in that.
No. That's your mistake.
I was not even considered.
That's your mistake because it's old enough. You could say, yeah, I was one of the main characters.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go back and check.
I was the sniper.
Right.
Remember him?
That's awesome. All right. Well, we are sadly out of time, Michael. But, man, it was great to see you again. I'm so glad you're doing well. Congratulations on getting this this passion project made, too.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me and help promoting it. We need you here.
Help to get out. Back in the Day is the name of it. You can see it in theaters now, VOD and iTunes. We suggest you do that. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate
you're the best. Thanks.
How about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We take the best viral videos of the week and put them together in one handy location for you at kevinandbean.com on krock.com. Kevin, what about Brittany Palmer? What about her?
Well, UFC ring girl.
Yes.
Relatively hot.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Sure.
She has a feature called Slow and Hot with Brittany Palmer, which unfortunately is not what you expect it to be. It's basically her going to a skate park on Venice Beach, and it's incredibly slow motion skateboarding all around her. It's actually pretty cool to look at. But of course, the best part about it is it's Brittany Palmer.
Hi, I'm Brittany Palmer here in Venice Beach, California, spending time at the skate park where the shredding is always better when it's slow and hot.
Yep.
She is unbelievably hot. And possibly slow as well, by the way. You should definitely check that one out. Two huge football games this weekend as we determine by the end of the weekend who will be playing in the Super Bowl this year. Of course, you got the Patriots versus the Broncos. That one is Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. A lot of people looking forward to that. But in some ways, maybe the matchup of the weekend is the battle for the NFC West, which is the Seahawks versus the 49ers. Epic Hike Video has put this together as if it were a movie trailer. That's this game presented as a movie trailer, and it's pretty awesome.
Let's get this feeling going. Let's feel this. Let's get this done.
Pete Carroll is crazy, by the way.
He is very enthusiastic during the game, isn't he?
He's screaming.
He does do that, doesn't he? Girls returned to HBO this past Sunday night, and of course there's been a ton of Girls parodies since it's been on the air, and this one, well, they've recreated the show with cats.
The internet is filled with cats, and I just need my YouTube channel to go viral and be seen by Grumpy Cat's manager. My ex-boyfriend is Instagram famous. I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm attracted to you, and let's face it, you are attracted to me.
Cats, girls dead by cats.
Yeah, let's stop putting up cat videos. How about that?
Dude.
Not a fan.
That's half the bandwidth of the internet is cat videos. Come on. Here's a very funny funny or die piece. They've done a People's Court of Champ Kind, who, of course, is David Koechner's character in Anchorman, versus Dorothy Mantooth. Now, this is Vince Vaughn's mom from Anchorman. Vince Vaughn, you know, plays the guy named Mantooth in the movie. His mom is played by Cloris Leachman, and they go to the People's Court because apparently they dated. They had sex, okay? David Koechner and Cloris Leachman's characters had sex in this, and then he never called her afterwards, so they took it to Judge Wapner.
I am suing you, Dorothy Mantooth, for being a huge pain in my ass.
Are you suing for $100?
Yes, for the seafood dinner, which is about $35. They include the tip, because I wouldn't have given one. The service was terrible.
Your Honor, this is preposterous. I'm the plaintiff, not him.
But under those circumstances, judging for the defendant.
I'm the defendant? Whammy!
David Koechner is so funny with Champ Kind. It's a great video. You heard a lot about Wolf of Wall Street, even if you haven't seen it in the theaters yet. This is the Martin Scorsese movie that set some sort of a Guinness Book of World Records for having the most F-words in the film. Well, somebody has gotten a hold of the movie and edited together just the F words. That's all that's left, and it's pretty remarkable.
It's good to play on the radio, too. So you got that going for you.
I guess there's over 500 of them in the movie, so you'll love the clip. Jimmy Fallon, late night talk show host Jimmy Fallon, does an occasional Bruce Springsteen bit where he comes out and plays the boss. He always plays the boss as 80s Springsteen, though, by the way, with the headband, and he's right. Got the, you know, the denim shirt on with no sleeves and stuff. So he came out and he sang a song to the tune of Born to Run, the Bruce Springsteen song Born to Run, all about the Chris Christie bridge scandal. Well, he's joined on stage by somebody who looks exactly like him and sings along with him the real life Bruce Springsteen.
Street master stood cheek to cheek with blue collar truckers, and man, I really gotta take a leak, but I can't. I'm stuck in Governor Chris Christie's four-lane New Jersey traffic jam.
It is funny because you think of Bruce Springsteen as being a very serious person,
yep.
But he is always so funny when he comes on Fallon. That's a great clip. Here's one of the strangest things I've ever seen. I wish there was some context as to how and why this happened, but you see a video camera, security camera, inside a golf shop. And out of nowhere, a guy who looks like he's one of the employees of the golf shop falls through the ceiling onto the floor. Now, there's no indication that the guys behind the counter off camera know that this is coming. They don't expect it. But listen to how unbelievably calm they are when this happens in front of them.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Billy. That hurt.
All right. Don't move a muscle.
I'm fine.
No, well, don't move.
Why is that a hole in the ceiling?
Don't move. Went too far.
He says, don't move, because he wants to take photos of the guy laying on the floor among all the wreckage from the ceiling so he can put it up online.
Well, that's the important part.
But why is he not surprised that this guy just fell through his ceiling?
I don't know, because he just says, hey, what was it, Ron? Hey, Ron, or whoever he was, like,
yeah.
Hi,
Steve.
As if he just walked into the place, not falling through the roof.
It's one of the craziest videos I've ever seen. Our friend Lord has that huge K-Rock song called Royals. This is an awesome parody by a comedian, actress, singer named Molly Dworsky, who looks so much like Lord, by the way, but she's singing the same song from the perspective of an older person.
Because every song's like written by a kid I probably used to babysit, killing it by puberty while I can barely stay fit. So unfair. The Lord's a millionaire at 17, and everybody's got kids, a mortgage, real responsibility, neck pains, diets, hot chicks were born after me, so unfair. I have to pay for my own healthcare, and we used to be royal.
Really, one of the best parody videos, because the singer not only looks and sounds like Lord, but, I mean, they've really done a great job of producing the record to sound exactly the same. And it's very, very funny. Check it out. Last week on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, we played some clips from a recent episode of Jeopardy where Alex Trebek was reading rap lyrics in one of the categories. Well, right. DJ Steve Porter, who has always done great work, took a bunch of clips from the original rap videos and also from previous rap categories on Jeopardy and put them all together in a Jeopardy rap remix.
Your mom busted in and said, "What's that noise?" Your mom busted in and said, "What's that noise?" Sipping on gin and juice, laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
It's pretty awesome.
It's fantastic. It's really, really great. As is a feature that we love to include every week. He's been doing it almost since his show began, late nights on ABC. Jimmy Kimmel Live with This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
It is cold up there. Really, really cold.
Get the out of Los Angeles.
I a lot of people as president of the United States.
I'd like to thank my parents for continuing to instill in me that no is too big.
You can see all these videos and so much more at kevinandbean.com, at krock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Listening to Rodney on the Rock. Hey, that's me. Anyway, that what you just heard was a band called Deep Valley.
It's capital.
It's called Walk of Shame.
Capital
and guess
cities.
What? It's only two people in the band, the drummer and the guitar player, two ladies.
Right.
Deep Valley, Walk of Shame. That was really good. And then you heard Maury Stern doing Year of the Glad.
I don't remember that either.
And then you heard Julie, actually. She changed her name to Julie. It's Julie. Julie Rogers, actually.
Is it Jay or Julie?
Remember Walking in the Sand, Shangri-La's song.
Okay.
She's from Japan.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Roddy. We appreciate that. It's good information to have. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, the Golden Raspberry Awards, the nominations for that awards were announced. And we've got them for you. The Razzies, for those of you who aren't
familiar. Oh, right, because these come out every year one day before the Oscar nominations, right?
Right.
When they do Oscars tomorrow?
Yeah.
That's right.
So the Razzies have been announced. These are for the worst achievement in films for the year.
Usually they're pretty dead on.
They are. I have a problem with one of the nominations this year, but other than that, I think they're pretty much straight on. Lone Ranger got a lot of attention from the Razzies this year, and I know a lot of people didn't like it. It was a very high-profile film that didn't do very well, but I don't think it was really Razzie-worthy at all. Pretty good.
I sort of liked it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah,
I think they've just taken shots because Johnny Depp's in it. It's a big high-profile flop, so it gives him a nice target. But for the
guy, what do you need him for?
For the most part, pretty spot on. Here are your nominees for Worst Picture: After Earth,
okay.
Grown Ups 2,
okay.
The Lone Ranger, as I mentioned, A Medea Christmas,
okay,
and Movie 43.
Pretty strong.
All pretty spectacularly bad films this year. Worst Actor: Johnny Depp got nominated for his role as Tonto in The Lone Ranger. Ashton Kutcher in Jobs. Adam Sandler in Grown Ups 2. Jaden Smith in After Earth. Congratulations to young Jaden Smith, his first nomination. And Sylvester Stallone, a 31-time nominee. Nominated this year for Worst Actor for not only Bullet to the Head, but also Escape Plan and Grudge Match.
You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
Just saying, you're a triple threat, Sly.
Wow. So big year for Sly.
Three movies this year they got him nominated for
Worst Actor. Congratulations.
Worst Actress, Halle Berry for The Call, where she plays a 911 operator who takes justice into her own hands.
That's right.
and hunts down killers.
Right.
When she takes off her headset.
I thought the movie looked good. I want to see that film.
Kevin Ryder. K-Rock Radio. It's on the poster.
It's not.
Also for her work in Movie 43, she also got nominated. Selena Gomez for The Getaway.
Little Lion
for her work in The Canyons. Tyler Perry got a Worst Actress nomination this year.
Actress, good.
For A Medea Christmas. And Naomi Watts got hit twice for Diana and Movie 43.
I didn't know Diana ever even came out.
I didn't either.
Hmm.
Worst Supporting Actress, Lady Gaga for Machete Kills. Salma Hayek for Grown Ups 2. Katherine Heigl for The Big Wedding. Kim Kardashian for Tyler Perry's Temptation. And Lindsay Lohan for Inappropriate Comedy and Scary Movie 5, her supporting work in both of those films. Worst Supporting Actor, Chris Brown for Battle of the Year. That was one of those dance crew battle off movies. Larry the Cable Guy for A Medea Christmas. Tyler Lautner for Grown Ups 2. And Nick Swarsden for his work in A Haunted House and Grown Ups 2. So congratulations to all the nominees this year.
Very exciting.
Best of luck. Wonder if any of them will actually show up. Once in a while, a celebrity will. They'll show up to accept their Razzie in person, which I always think shows an enormous amount of...
good sense of humor.
Good humor.
Yep.
I know Halle Berry did, I think, for her Catwoman award. She actually showed up for that. Justin Bieber's house was raided yesterday by cops. 11 patrol cars from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department showed up.
USA! USA! USA!
Felony search warrant was issued looking for evidence to connect Justin to the egging of his neighbor's home last week. As we mentioned before, it is a felony because it was much more than $400 worth of damage, according to the owner of the property. And if he's convicted, that could mean some serious jail time for Justin, but he really didn't get the worst of the raid yesterday. His buddy Lil Za, who was staying at his house, was the one who got busted for drug possession.
Took the fall.
Well, some people might say, I'm Justin Bieber here, hold my drugs, and I'll pay your legal fees.
Right.
Certainly seems likely.
But there's no evidence to that.
Correct.
That happened.
Just a theory.
It's just a theory on our part. Best of luck to everyone involved with that. Tonight, the two-hour season 13 premiere of American Idol. Brand new lineup of judges.
Nope.
Keith Urban, Harry Connick Jr., and Jennifer Lopez. Brand new judging panel. And several big changes in store for viewers, say producers.
Yeah, what do they mean when they say it's going back to its roots? How is it different from previous seasons, Ralph?
I can't possibly imagine because it's been the same goddamn show for 13
seasons look like
in a row. Randy Jackson will be back, but he'll be mentoring singers in a singer's boot camp that he'll be in charge of.
Louder, dog!
The top 30 will get their tickets to Hollywood. They'll be cut down to the top 10 in just 1 week instead of dragging up the selection process.
So can they make it
less
than 2 hours?
They're going to the top 10 right away. After the first week, you get right to the top 10.
Well, it sounds like the only part that we've liked in recent years, which is the terrible singers, is going to be very little of that, sounds like, this time
around. They're
still
not doing that justice.
Gloria, you're always on the run now.
Till tomorrow.
That's our favorite part.
I'll be holding you tight. Even if I don't sing, I can be the next American Idol.
No.
So less of that? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's the show. I would watch that show every week if that's all it was.
That's the best part.
There needs to be a TV show where they find the worst singer in America. I will watch that.
They did that once.
They did?
They did a Joe Schmoish singing competition show where they had the top 10 worst singers that auditioned.
No kidding.
Yes.
And then they strung them along for the entire run. At the end, they awarded the award, and then they broke the news to that person that the award was actually for worst singer in America.
Ouch.
Oh, ouch. Which is cruel and inhuman punishment, I think.
You know what my question is, Ralph, about American Idol, and I think of this every year as it debuts, is all those people every season that you see that get cut, and they're furious because they have the talent and the judges don't know what they're talking about.
If you, Simon, you'll hear from me.
Exactly.
This is the last you've heard of me, American Idol.
And they always say that. They always say, I'm coming back. They always say you haven't heard the last of me. Have any of them ever come back again in a career? Have any of them ever showed up again after being cut early?
I do not believe that has
don't
ever
think
happened
so.
In the history of its of the franchise. By the way, each judge will have a wild card pick each week.
Did they do that last year?
They do it at the very end. Every week they're going to have someone.
Wild card.
I don't even know what that means. I'm just so bored already. It's not even on yet. God. And FX has announced when they're going to roll out their TV version of the Oscar-winning movie Fargo. April 15th will be the debut of the new series. It is a limited series, they're claiming, just 10 episodes. I'm sure if it does well that they will bring it back. But I don't know. I'll be interested to see what they do with this. The lead role, the insurance salesman, played by so famously by William H. Macy in the film, is going to be played by Martin Freeman from Sherlock. Plays Watson on that show. He's also Baggins in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
He's going to be taking over that role. Other cast members will be Colin Hanks, our buddy, L.A. Kings correspondent Colin Hanks, Oliver Pratt, Kate Walsh, and Bob Odenkirk will also star in the series. So I'll be interested to see what they do with that.
Absolutely.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Mario Van Peebles, the actor and director, is 57 years old today. Chad Lowe of the acting Lowe family is 46. Regina King, 43 years old. Actor Eddie Cahill is 36. Rapper Pitbull. You party with Pitbull, 150% better, but light. And Skrillex is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
If you've always wanted to see hockey at Dodger Stadium, and I can't imagine you have, now's your chance as part of the 2014 NHL Stadium Series. It's Ducks versus Kings. We're looking for hockey fans right now. I think, in particular, Ducks fans this time around, would you say is fair?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Give us a call if you want to play a game. Win your way in. 1-800-520-1067. Saturday, January 25th at Dodger Stadium. You want to see some official NHL hockey between the Ducks and the Kings? Give us a call. Hey, Allie Reed, writer for Crack.com. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We have laughed at several things that you have written, but really, you made international news with your most recent column up there at Crack.com. Very funny stuff. Tell us about it.
Thank you. Well, I decided to create the online dating profile for the worst woman on earth and see. I wanted to see if there was a lower limit to how atrocious a human can be before men will stop messaging her.
I could have answered that question for you before you even wrote it, but go ahead.
That wouldn't have made for as good an article, right. I think.
Tell us about the profile.
Well, her name is Erin Carter Fan.
And right there, she should eliminate any contact from any serious person, right?
I know, yeah. I was hoping that would be enough. I wouldn't even have to write the profile. But I did just to be safe. On a typical Friday night, Erin Carter Fan enjoys knocking the cups out of homeless people's hands.
Good.
Because it's so funny to watch them try to pick it all up. Something she's – the only thing she lists that she's really good at is convincing people she's pregnant.
Right. Now, why isn't that enough to scare anyone away from contact?
Right. That was my question. And the answer is it is not even close to enough because she got 150 messages in the first 24 hours.
Now, this is what's fascinating. This is why guys suck and why women hate guys, and I totally get why. Look, if you had put up an actual profile of you, Allie, an actual attractive person with a sense of humor who has a job, who can write, who is interesting and funny to talk to, how many responses do you think you would have gotten in 24 hours with an actual picture and an actual real life answers to those questions?
I can tell you. And actually, I got a lot of feedback afterwards saying, it'd be interesting to run this experiment again with a really well-written profile and less attractive photos. And I was like, I kind of did run that experiment because I had my own profile up. And I got way fewer messages than Erin Carter Fan did.
Wow. So how'd you find tell me about the photo that you chose for Erin Carter Fan.
That is, I knew I needed an attractive lady to sell this profile, and so I reached out to my friend Ray Johnston, who is a model in Australia, asked if I could raid her Facebook photos, and she very politely consented. We had no idea this was going to blow up,
right.
And now everyone on Earth thinks that she is the worst
the
woman.
The worst woman alive. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. So you got contacted by how many guys?
I had Erin Carter Fan up for 2 or 3 weeks, got close to 1,000 messages.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Now, did you have it? I don't even know how to ask this question. Did you have any way of knowing whether they just saw the picture and responded and didn't even look at the
profile?
I chose to believe that all of them did that. That all of them...
You hope.
Yeah, right. I hope. The optimist in me needs to believe that you're giving no one read this profile and thought, yeah, this is my kind of woman.
You're giving men a big benefit of the doubt, but all right.
I had to for a lot of this experiment.
That's fine.
So what did they say to you? Because if you wrote a profile from which we should not be able to draw anything attractive out of it, what kinds of opening remarks did they make to you when they wrote to you, Allie?
Well, that was really interesting because there were obviously a lot of very explicit requests. But I would say even more than that was just, hey, you seem like a really nice girl. You've got pretty eyes. Like, I'd like to get to know you.
See, I'm telling you, it was this. They looked at the picture.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to read.
That's how they do that. Maybe guys never read any of that stuff you write.
Nobody's going to read, the best thing I do is fake being pregnant and go, yes, I need to contact this woman.
That's crazy. I hope so. Except that once they started messaging me, I was like, okay, they didn't read the profile. I'm going to convince them I'm the worst woman on earth with my responses.
Okay, good.
So I told, you know, one guy asked what I was doing right now. I said I was pretending to be a 14-year-old on Facebook so I could bully my sister's friends because bullying is so much fun. I told one guy a series of all caps messages that I thought he had too many teeth and I wanted to pull one out.
Oh, my God.
Told a guy I was going to give him a mermaid tattoo. Told a guy I hate sex and only use it as a weapon, so I'm only going to have sex with him if I'm planning on pretending to be pregnant. And to all of these, the guy's response was like, that sounds great, what are you doing on Friday?
Oh my god,
there's nothing you could do to scare them away.
Nothing.
Now, when you mentioned the explicit messages, that was a surprise to me, because I even saw some of the examples in your column, Allie, where people were like instantly trying to get you onto text, you know, like, hey, let's get off of this public forum so we can get dirty, basically is what they were saying. I mean, it's crazy how fast they move with this imaginary person.
I have a lot of real phone numbers of guys who just gave them to me.
Oh. Did you print them?
I'm saving them for a rainy day.
Okay. All right.
That's just creepy.
Is your takeaway that men are pathetic?
No. Like, first of all, this isn't a legitimate social experiment. Like, it hasn't been peer reviewed.
Right,
I'm not a journalist. Like,
just goofing around.
I'm a comedy writer. I thought it would be funny. And so, like, it's a very small self-selecting group of men who messaged Aaron Carter fan. Like, probably way more men saw this profile and thought, no, thank you.
Right.
So I don't think
I'd like to believe that too.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't indict an entire gender. And I also, on my real OkCupid profile while I was running the experiment, met my current boyfriend.
Oh, is that right?
So there,
oh, nice.
There
a happy ending.
Ones. Yeah, exactly.
And then did Aaron Carter fan hear from your current boyfriend?
Actually, on our first date, I was so excited about this. I was having so much fun with it. So I told him about Aaron Carter fan and he looked her up and sent her a message in character as Trey saying, like, we should get together once my hep clears up.
Well, you are very funny. Crack.com obviously is a great website that we reference often here on the Kevin Beach Show. This piece, by the way, that you wrote about the online dating profile has over 4 million views. Is that right?
Yeah, people seem to like it.
Very, very funny. Wow. Allie Reed, writer for Cracked.com. You can follow her on Twitter, by the way, at Allie Person, which I think is hilarious, and AllieReed.com is the website. Thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
This is very special. It's the first ever outdoor hockey game in the state of California. It's going to be coming up January the 25th at Dodger Stadium. Kings versus Ducks as part of the 2014 NHL Stadium Series. By the way, you can get tickets at lakings.com if you want, or nhl.com/LA. Kiss is going to be performing live.
Yeah.
Because when you think hockey,
you think Kiss.
Sure. No, right. Exactly.
Football, I think Kiss.
When you think anything, you think
the LA Kiss.
That's right. So we have tickets you can win right now. 1-800-520-1067. This is a game we like to call Famous Ducks.
We're going to have some hockey fun. It all goes down to Dutch Trivia. Famous Ducks, yeah, we have some. It's time to name that famous ducky.
See what you did?
See?
See?
Because lucky and ducky
rhyme.
I like it. All right, Lisa, we're going to need to do a drawing at the end. Ralph's going to be asking trivia questions that are all Famous Ducks. If you get it right, you go into the drawing. Kevin, who's our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Dennis. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Dennis, here's your question. This cartoon character made his debut in 1934 and always wears a sailor suit but never wears pants except when he's swimming, and then he wears swim trunks, which is weird.
I'm going to say Donald Duck.
Well done, sir. Donald Duck is correct.
You hold on. Thank you. Let's go to JD. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
Hey, welcome to the game.
JD, here's your question. This duck was originally voiced by Gilbert Gottfried and has been hinting for us to buy this brand of insurance since 1999. What brand of insurance?
The Aflac duck.
Aflac. Nicely done.
That's right.
Two for two. On. Nice job.
All right. Let's go to Isaac. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Welcome to the game. Isaac, your question is an audio clue. Here's the question. This awful novelty song was performed by legendary douchebag Rick Dees.
Went to a party the other night. All the ladies were treating me right.
If you don't know the answer to this, I still respect you.
Any idea, Isaac, what novelty song from 1976 performed by Rick Dees has a
duck in the title?
Yes, I do not know. I want to say Rubber Ducky.
No, sorry. Disco Duck.
Disco Duck.
Was the name of that song. Number one, by the way, on the Billboard Hot 100
for
1 week.
It sure was.
Wow.
And, of course, Ralph, you recall his follow-up Disco-rilla, which did not do quite as well as the Disco Duck, but he tried.
Never heard of that.
Disco Giraffe also was not a big hit. Disco Zebra did not take off. He did a whole menagerie.
Let's bring in Wendy to the game. Hi there.
Hey there.
Hey, Wendy, here's your question. This 1986 George Lucas film was such a spectacular flop that the title actually became a metaphor for awful movie.
Oh, don't know.
It's a famous duck, if that helps
you. Famous duck, George Lucas movie, 1986.
Don't know.
Wow. Sorry. Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
That was a pretty good duck impression you just did there, though.
That was.
All right. Dennis so far in the drawing. JD, since then, we've gone quiet a little bit here, you guys. We've
gone 0 for 2 after that. We have Mario now. Hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Mario, here's your question. This character first appeared in the 1937 cartoon Porky's Duck Hunt and was voiced by the legendary Mel Blanc.
Porky's Duck Hunt.
Famous duck.
That was the name of the cartoon he first appeared in, but he's been in many, many cartoons since.
Daffy Duck.
Daffy Duck.
Wow.
Well done.
I had serious doubts about you.
I'm like, no way, and you nailed it.
Did he say Jacqueline Duck initially?
I think at the beginning he said something weird like that.
But he got to Daffy, that's all that matters.
All right, let's bring in Monique. Hi there.
Hi.
Monique, your question, also an audio clue. Ernie of Sesame Street fame is well known for this song about his bath time buddy.
Every day when I make my way to the tubby, I find a little fella who's cute and yellow and chubby.
Rubber Ducky is correct.
Nice.
Well
nice.
Done.
Nicely done. I just have time for one more, you guys.
All right, that would be Ben. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, what's going on? Lisa May. What's
hey, up? Ben.
Lisa May. Gets right to business.
Yeah. Ben, here's your question. We already talked about popular Disney character Donald Duck. These characters are identical triplets and Donald's nephews. What are their names, all three of them, please?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Boom!
What?
Didn't he say Jewy, you guys?
He didn't say Jewy.
I think he said Jewy.
He didn't say Jewy.
What did you mean to say, Ben?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah,
Huey.
There you go.
Huey is what we were looking for. Huey.
I don't remember Huey.
Huey. Anti-Semitic bastards.
So Ben is in. Monique, Mario, Dennis, JD. Only one can win tickets to see Hockey in the Outdoors, Dodger Stadium, January 25th. It's the LA Kings versus the Anaheim Ducks. Who will it be, Lisa May?
It will be Mario.
Mario. Congratulations, Mario.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
See you at the game. Thanks for playing.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Ralph has the showbiz beat on the way as well. Hey, tomorrow morning on the Kevin Bean Show, we have a great show. If we can look ahead, Kevin Bacon is going to be joining us tomorrow. Jay Moore will be here.
Don't just rush past the following.
Following is coming back. Wait. Yes, Kevin, for season 2. Haley Joel Osment is going to be in studio with us tomorrow. Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. And, of course, first thing right out of the gate at 5:30, we'll be covering the Oscar nominations. Those are going to be released tomorrow in Beverly Hills. They'll be reading those out loud like they do. One of the movies it's getting a lot of attention, and I haven't seen it yet because it just opened, is this Her, this Spike Jonze movie, Her.
I haven't seen it either. It looks amazing. He won the Golden Globe for Best Screenplay, and I'm certain that he will be nominated for the Oscars tomorrow. This is the one, I'm sure you've heard about it, with Joaquin Phoenix. He's the guy who falls in love with the operating system. The computer voice is played by Scarlett Johansson. And if you haven't, here's a little bit of a trailer of her, and then I'll tell you why we bring it up.
Hi, I'm Samantha. Good morning, Theodore.
Morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
Yeah, you're too funny.
Okay, good. I'm funny.
What does a baby computer call its father?
I don't know what.
Data.
It's so quiet.
Can you feel me with you right now?
I've never loved anyone the way I love you.
Me too.
He falls in love with the computer voice.
I would fall in love with that computer voice,
who
by the way.
Who seems to fall back in love with him.
Yeah. Yes. Looks like a great, great movie. You know, it comes out of nowhere. Spike Jonze, I mean, he does Adaptation and Where the Wild Things Are. He does all these crazy movies that are so unique to him. But then his movies come out and they become popular. And then everybody says, hey, how can I get in on some of that Spike Jonze magic? And apparently Her has made such an impact so far that the studio has already started talking about a sequel. They already have commercials out there for the sequel to Her. And apparently it's called Him.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
I think it comes out this summer.
Really?
When Herman Smedley got his artificial intelligence operating system, he thought that he, too, might fall in love. But instead, what Herman got was him.
Hi there. What's your name?
My name is Kevin. I'm your operating system.
Okay, Kevin. I'd like to use my GPS now.
I'll tell you where to go. Get on the party bus and let's go to Vegas. I love Vegas so much, I don't even sleep there.
For Herman and Kevin, it was a match made in heaven.
Kevin, this is really serious. I need you to pull up my presentation for work.
You're a guy who I don't even know who your name is.
Kevin, I've got some work overseas. Can you translate this information for me?
I have 6 different lessons, languages. Never mind.
But sometimes, even the best of friends can't make things work out.
Kevin, I'm sorry. I just can't go through my life with a drunk computer.
Oh, of course you can. Don't be stupid. Dumb. You're absurd. Absurd!
If you see only one movie about a drunk operating system this year, make it Him.
I wish I wasn't a computer, because I want to drink.
Him, coming soon to a theater near you.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, what did you do since the last time we saw you way back in December?
I learned 6 new lessons, languages. Never mind.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Him, my computer operating
voice. It is.
Yeah. Except it made less sense than the computer operating voice.
You don't want a drunk computer operating system. You don't want that. I know that much.
I do.
Hey, Adam Carolla, right after the top of the hour with This Week in Rage. First, Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of movies, did you see the people at Thinkmoto are back at it again? The viral marketing company, Thinkmoto?
No, what's this?
Uh-uh. Thinkmoto is the people who put together the very elaborate prank they did with the movie Carrie. When Carrie came out, they took a coffee shop and they turned it into a telekinetic nightmare where the girl got very angry in the coffee shop and books started flying off the tables and the guy flew up against the wall and ran up the wall.
Like
and
she had all kinds of
like
weird
power.
Like
she had telekinetic powers.
Yeah, that was
like
cool.
Carrie, like the, and they would set people up. They'd fill up the coffee shop and then things would start going haywire and people would lose their minds.
That was a great video.
It was. It was a very successful viral marketing campaign for the movie Carrie. They've got another one out now for the movie Devils Do. This is that movie about the woman who's having Satan's baby.
Sure.
Get it out! Get it out! So what they've done is they took a baby carriage and they motorized it and made it move on its own.
Awesome.
In New York City. And then they had a very realistic baby's cry come from within it. And then when you peek in to see if the baby's okay in the baby carriage, a demon baby sits right up and starts screaming and sometimes spewing green vomit.
That would scare the crap out of me.
That's awesome.
And it does. Do yourself a favor. Go online. If you go to Devil's Do, you can find it on YouTube. You can see the video of people in New York City just losing their minds.
I love it.
With the viral stunt done by the people at Thinkmoto. Very clever company. And, boy, they're good at this stuff. I mean, it's all robotic and it's all electronic. I mean, they really
go the whole nine yards.
That's awesome.
But people, there's a picture of it. There's one of the still.
That's going, awesome.
Women especially just losing their mind.
It is funny because these people think they're doing, you know, somebody a favor by peeking in on this baby. And then they're so surprised by it. It's out of nowhere.
Yeah. More movie news. The Golden Raspberry Award nominations were announced today. The Razzies, as they're known, are awards given to the worst in motion pictures over the year, as opposed to the Oscars, which is the best. Congratulations to first-time nominee Johnny Depp and Naomi Watts. They're the first time they've ever been nominated for something related to bad work in television. Here are your nominations for the Razzies. Worst Picture, After Earth, Grown Ups 2, The Lone Ranger, A Medea Christmas, and Movie 43. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Gotta think Grown Ups 2, right?
I don't know.
My opinion always is that a comedy that fails is much more horrific than a drama that fails.
Why?
Or an action film that fails. Because the fall is greater. The fall from grace is greater. If you want a movie to be funny and really good, and that's the mark of a successful comedy,
right,
and it becomes horrible and awful, I think it drops farther than like an action film that doesn't hit the mark or a drama that doesn't hit the mark.
With action, you can at least have a certain amount of action.
Right. You can't, you know, you're just missing the mark in that case. But in a bad comedy, boy, is that a swing and a miss.
And hasn't the Razzies has honored Adam Sandler many, many
previously. He is an Academy favorite over there at the Razzies, that's for sure. Worst Actor, Adam Sandler nominated for his work in Grown Ups 2. Johnny Depp as Tonto in The Lone Ranger. Ashton Kutcher for Jobs. Jaden Smith, his first time nomination. I'm sure it won't be his last.
Yeah.
For After Earth. And then, of course, perennial Razzie favorite, 31-time nominee Sylvester Stallone for three films.
31 times.
Nominated for his acting in three films this year. Bullet to the Head, Escape Plan, and Grudge Match. But it was Grudgment Day, wasn't it?
It was.
That's right. Worst Actress, Halle Berry for The Call and Movie 43. Selena Gomez for Getaway. I'm not even sure what Getaway was.
I don't know what that is either.
I barely remember that one as well.
I think it might have been the film with Ethan Hawke where he plays a guy, John Voight, got his wife kidnapped and says, pick up the keys to this Mustang and do what I tell you to do while you're driving around or else your wife's going to die.
Hmm.
Does it make any sense whatsoever?
Nope, could be. Vaguely familiar, yeah.
Maybe. Very much could be. I don't remember.
Little R!
Nominated for her work in The Canyons. Tyler Perry got a Worst Actress nomination this year for his work in A Medea Christmas and Naomi Watts for Diana and Movie 43. A lot of stars are in that Movie 43.
Yeah.
And a lot of them will have to bear the shame of that for a long time to come.
That was the movie where it sort of wasn't really a movie, right? It was just
series
filming
of
people doing random things.
Series of sketches like Kentucky Fried Movie or one of those kind of wacky films.
And I feel bad for the actors and actresses that are lumped into that project because it's almost like they were just doing it as a favor to a friend kind of thing, you know?
We're a supporting actress, Lady Gaga for Machete Kills, Salma Hayek for Grown Ups 2, Katherine Heigl for The Big Wedding. That was a bust. Kim Kardashian for Tyler Perry's Temptation. And Lindsay Lohan for Inappropriate Comedy and Scary Movie 5 with her co-star Charlie Sheen. We're supporting actor Chris Brown for Battle of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm going to dance all over you, man.
Isn't that the one where, like, Sawyer from Lost was going to whip him into...
He was the captain of the dance squad, and then they take on another dance squad, and they battle to the death.
Awesome.
Larry the Cable Guy for A Medea Christmas. Taylor Lautner for Grown Ups 2. And Nick Swardson for A Haunted House and his work in Grown Ups 2. Those are your nominations, the big ones at least, for the Razzies for this year. Justin Bieber's house raided by cops, of course, yesterday. We've all heard about it by now. Lil Za got the worst of that raid.
Oh, Lil Za.
Lil Za was staying at the house. He got busted for drug possession. Justin Bieber not involved in that bust, they say. And no word, they won't give us really any results on what they found in there regarding evidence for his felony vandalism.
Well, that's true, didn't it? We focused on what they did find, but...
Yeah. We don't really know what they found in connection to that, so...
Fingers crossed.
But they've got the video and the audio. It's going to be hard-pressed to get around that, I think. And Kate Upton has a new boyfriend.
Kevin, you got any thoughts on this?
Oh, she ran it by me. It's all right for now. Well, not really a new boyfriend. Kind of an old boyfriend. She is retreading a romance with Justin Verlander of the Detroit Tigers.
Oh.
She was dating Maxime Chermkovsky from Dancing with the Stars, but now she's back with Justin. They attended a Philadelphia Flyers game this week. And apparently hit several restaurants in Philly as well. Had a good time. I don't know what the connection is there between Kate Upton and Justin Verlander and the Flyers. But
can you imagine how fast hockey is to a baseball player?
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
Wow, this is like, I'm like going in another dimension. This is crazy.
When do they take a break?
You must be so confused. When do they stand around and scratch themselves? I don't understand. Where's the eye black?
For the one fly ball I'm going to get today.
Horrible. Today's celebrity birthday is Skrillex. 26 years old today. By the way, Flyers beat the Sabres last night. 14.3 seconds left on the clock. I got the goal. There's nothing better than the last second goal.
If you're at home.
If that's your team.
Yeah, if that's your team.
In hockey. So exciting. Pitbull's 33 years old today. Eddie Cahill's 36. Regina Kill? Nope. Regina King? She hasn't killed
very
anybody.
Different. Very different.
She's 43 years old today. Chad Lowe is 46. Mario Van Peebles turns 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Former Victoria's Secret angel and Sports Illustrated swimsuit model and Emmy Award-winning television host Heidi Klum joins us in about 15 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Equally pretty, by the way, is our friend Adam Carolla. Carolla, comedian and radio host, adamcarolla.com. If you want to get all the fine family of podcasts there, you want to buy tickets to upcoming Ace Man shows, including Thursday, February 13th at the Irvine Improv. Tickets available through improv.com as well for just $25. And the Big Mangria Live podcast party show at the Treasure Island Theater in Las Vegas. Tickets are on sale now for Friday, February 21st with special guest Joe Coy. Mangria available at every bar in the casino. So he's making an impact there in Las Vegas. All those details at adamcarolla.com. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with number three and working my way down. Or I should say maybe up. I don't know. To number one. I'm going to get in a room that's more aesthetically or acoustically pleasing.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you guys don't like the reverberation and the feedback.
Yeah, no, take your time.
All right. I was missed a flight coming back from CES last week and had to rent a car and drive from Vegas to L.A. First off, Bean, I hope you're sitting down and you've braced yourself. The Bun Boy is no longer with us.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I know. I've seen it, and it hurts me. It hurts me deep, Ace Man.
This is devastating. I was like that Indian by the side of the road with the single tear.
Oh.
If that guy had a Miller Lite between his legs and said, well, I guess we'll have to go to In-N-Out. And was going 86 miles an hour. But other than that, I was exactly the same as
thing.
That Indian.
Right.
That Indian
I feel
was
like
white and had a Miller Lite between his legs and announced, I guess we'll have to go to In-N-Out. I was exactly there. You could not tell the difference between the two of us.
But don't you feel like that Bun Boy was a part of your existence? I mean, it's been there your whole life. I mean, that's the thrill of driving from Las Vegas to Los Angeles or back, is the Bun Boy and the world's largest thermometer. I mean, that's just part of the experience.
Yeah, not only that, but it's the signs. And I never knew how they did it. Because it's like the second you announce we're driving to Vegas, you back down your driveway and you hit a sign that says Bun Boy, 141 miles. And then you get on the freeway, you know, at the 101 and it says Bun Boy, another, you know, 132 miles. And you're like, how do they even know where we're going? My dad lives in Studio City. Maybe I'm just going to his house.
You have to stop by Bun Boy first.
I mean, there would be a Bun Boy sign every 42 feet along the 15.
That's true.
And now they're all replaced by somebody who makes alien jerky.
Yes, that's right.
To me, there's no group I trust less with my jerky than aliens. I want fat racists working on jerky. I don't want aliens working on jerky. All right, where was I? Anyway, number two. I don't know if you guys saw the Golden Globes, but Amy Adams won for American Hustle.
Yep.
I got no beef with her, but she did one of those actressy things that drives me insane. She thanked everybody, and then at the end she thanked her obnoxiously named child, who admittedly was not old enough to understand what she was saying because she was in bed and she's 3 o'clock. Then she went on to do this, which I can't stand. It's right up there with these people who announce their wife is their best friend. They just say it to make us look like a-holes.
Right.
She did Her daughter taught her to embrace joy and let go of fear. Her daughter's three. Right, right. Her daughter taught her how to wipe her ass. Her daughter taught her how to pay a Guatemalan chick to take care of her in the middle of the night when she didn't have to get up because she had an early call. Her daughter, my kids taught me, not, I have twins. Between the two of them, all they've taught me is kids are expensive and they have no gratitude. Did kids teach you, Bean, did your pigs teach you about fear and about how to embrace life?
I don't think it's an exact comparison. Maybe we should ask Kevin. Kevin, did you learn anything from your kids in all the years that you attempted to raise them?
I actually have learned a lot, yeah. But I'm starting at a much lower level than you guys.
I'm just saying there's no way a three-year-old taught her to embrace joy and let go of fear.
Yeah, I agree with you, Adam, on that one. I do.
And number one, I've come up with an idea that's going to make me a kajillionaire. It's a phone app. You know, I've talked about this before where I have to sit in the back of a town car and listen to Dr. Drew talk to his screwball wife. And, you know, when guys, you see, you sit next to these guys on the flights, you sit next, you share cabs with these guys, you see them in the lobby of the hotel. They're clearly on with their wife or their elderly parent, and they're trying to wind down the conversation, but the person on the other line is not getting a clue.
Right.
So somewhere, you know, we'll do, okay, yeah, okay, well, then I'll see you then, then I'll see you then. Well, I walked into the bedroom around Thanksgiving, and or I should say Christmas, and my wife was talking to her elderly dad and was in that exact same mode. Okay, Papa, okay, okay, well, then we'll see you then.
Trying to give the most obvious I got to hang up messages in the world.
Right. Have a great Christmas, then. All right, then we'll see you on the New Year. And it's just keep lap after lap after lap. He'll never get the clue. You don't want to be rude and scream. I want to dive at the person, slap the phone out of their hands. How about this is the world's greatest app? This is an app that's a work on your smartphone, Android, whatever you got, your iPhone. When it hears the phrase, will do, for the third time in under 2 minutes,
right,
static kicks in and it hangs up.
Oh, I like it.
That's great.
And then that person can't, when that person calls you back, it gets a weird out of signal sign
nice.
On their phone. That's it.
I'm in.
So all it takes is like, you know, and you can meter them out because you can go like, will do, and a little bar on your phone will come, will do. And then all of a sudden, if the person wants to bring up your prowess on the football field in high school from 1981, you can stop.
You don't have to hit that third will do.
But once you hit the third will do, in under 120 seconds, static, boom, drop.
I like it.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Thank you.
I like it.
As if you haven't already made a kajillion with the Mangria, I think you're on to set mills here, Adam. You got to get that thing going.
Will do.
AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all of the information, including the live podcast at Irvine Improv on Thursday, February 13th. Tickets available at improv.com. And don't miss the big show at Treasure Island with comedian Joe Coy. Again, details at AdamCarolla.com. Talk to you soon, man.
Great.
Will do.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
By the way, you mentioned watching the Flyers on TV last night, Ralph.
Yes.
When are you coming into Kevin's house and terrorizing him and his Kings friends?
Please.
When's that game happening?
That is February the 1st, Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock is the Flyers Kings.
Just a couple
game
weeks away.
That I will be attending there at the Frozen Ice Dojo or whatever,
whatever Vic calls it. I think it's Staples Center.
Yeah.
I like that you you warned Kevin that it's on, that when you show up there, you're going to be annoying Flyers fan.
I'm warning him and all of his friends and everyone.
Yeah.
Give you the heads up that five drunken Flyers fans are going to be rolling into that game.
There's no possible way that you could top the Red Wings fans, though, who
That's
are
true.
The most obnoxious,
obnoxious
people on the planet.
That's something we both agree on. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's correct. Yeah.
What do they do? What do the Detroit fans do?
They're just punks.
They're bad losers and bad winners. You know what I mean? Like, they beat the Kings, so they were just taunting everybody. And when the Kings score, you know, they get up. And, like, they're bad whether they lose or win. They're just hateful, ugly people. And I love hockey fans because they're the least reverent crowd of any.
Yes, that's true.
But there's lines, and really the Red Wings are below it. And they're the only ones.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Philly's above it about two spots.
How dare you?
How many?
Well, that'll be in a couple of weeks. That'll be fun. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin Devine Show, what's going on?
The Razzie nominations are in. The Golden Raspberry Awards given out every year since 1980, I believe, is when they first started it. In an answer to the Oscars, this gives awards to your favorite stars and films for the worst in motion pictures over the past year. This year's nominees are pretty spectacular. Worst supporting actress, Lady Gaga for Machete Kills was nominated. Salma Hayek for Grown Ups 2. Grown Ups 2, I think, get the lion's share of the award nomination.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It seems to get everything.
Katherine Heigl for The Big Wedding, Kim Kardashian for Tyler Perry's Temptation, and Lindsay Lohan for Inappropriate Comedy and Scary Movie 5. Inappropriate Comedy was the name of that film, by the way. Has to do with it.
Didn't know that existed.
Yeah. We're a supporting actor, Chris Brown for Battle of the Year. We're going to dance against those guys and beat them with all our dancing. All right, let's go. Oh, he was good. I love those dance movies. Larry the Cable Guy for A Medea Christmas, Taylor Lautner for Grown Ups 2, and Nick Swardson for A Haunted House and Grown Ups 2. Worst actress in a film this year, according to the Razzie nominations, Halle Berry for The Call and Movie 43, Selena Gomez for Getaway, Lindsay Lohan for The Canyons, Tyler Perry for, got a Worst Actress nomination this year for A Medea Christmas, and Naomi Watts for Diana and Movie 43. Worst actor, Johnny Depp as Tonto in The Lone Ranger. I think that's a miscalculation on their part. Ashton Kutcher in Jobs, Adam Sandler in Grown Ups 2, Jaden Smith for After Earth, and Sylvester Stallone, who to date has garnered 31 nominations in the Razzies over his career. His work in three films, Bullet to the Head, Escape Plan, and Grudge Match, earned him a nomination this year. And finally, Worst Picture, according to the Golden Raspberry Academy, After Earth, Grown Ups 2, The Lone Ranger, A Medea Christmas, and Movie 43. Those are your Razzie nominations. Just came out today. This Shia LaBeouf is just
What's up with him?
More and more stories coming out. This one from Rupert Grint. You know him, of course, from the Harry Potter movies.
Sure.
Did an interview with The Guardian newspaper in the UK talking about working with Shia LaBeouf on a film called The Necessary Death of Charlie Countryman. I don't know if that's already been out or it's going to come out. Shia LaBeouf plays a character who takes LSD in the film. So Shia LaBeouf naturally thought it would be an excellent idea, because he's an artist, to actually take LSD on the set of the movie.
Yeah, it's method acting.
Yeah, it is called method acting.
Right.
Yeah. It's stupid. It's stupid when you're making a movie and you need to be desperately in control of everything that you do in order to get the job done, to drop an hallucinogenic like LSD and expect yourself to be functional. It's just indulgence of the worst kind. Rupert says, after he took the LSD, Shia proceeded to smash up the set. He got naked and kept hallucinating that an owl was attacking him.
Those mean owls.
Rupert said, if anything will make you not do drugs, it's watching that. He said. Can you imagine the people who are there to do their jobs, like grips and cameramen?
How many people is that, roughly?
Yeah, on any given set, you can have like 100 people standing around trying to earn a living. And this douchebag says, I'm going to drop acid. And he starts smashing the set up and getting naked. Everybody's just there looking at each other saying, when's lunch?
Wow.
What a nightmare. And congratulations to everybody who lusted after Tiger Woods' mistress, Rachel Yucatel. Remember her?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do. Dr. Drew's friend.
Yeah. She's single again. She is back on the market. Divorce from her boyfriend, Matt Hahn, was made final on Monday. I guess more than a boyfriend, a husband. They got married in 2011, and they have a daughter, of course, because that's a good idea.
Good.
A giant meltdown in that relationship. He was a former football star at Penn State, now apparently a finance guy. They just hated each other by the end of it. She's got primary custody of their daughter, Wyatt. And no money apparently will be changing hands, because he was smart enough at least to get a prenup. But Rachel Yucatel, free again to break up marriages. So, who would have thought a relationship with her wouldn't work? She seemed like such a grounded, well,
very stable.
Yep.
I thought
stable.
I don't know very much about the circumstances about this relationship, Ralph, but I did feel for her in that she was that lady who got really, really honked up when her fiancé died in 9/11.
Yes.
That's kind of where.
Oh, right.
She went off the rails with relationships, I think, and that's why Dr. Drew was working with her. She was just having a lot of problems being able to become intimate again. So I think there were troubles with her going into that relationship.
Yeah. You don't think she went off the rails regarding relationship when she was banging a married Tiger Woods?
Well, there was that. I don't think that was the best choice she ever made, yeah. But she's got troubles.
Whore.
Everybody wants to go to Planet Hollywood to sit down in Vegas and do their shows. That's the new thing.
They must be paying well.
They must be. Britney Spears, of course, famously started her residency over the holidays. Then Meatloaf announced he's going to be sitting down there for a couple weeks. And the latest act to join the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino family, the Jacksons are getting back together again. Woo! Jacksons!
They're just saying, Kevin, we do not want you here.
The Jacksons. Come on, Kevin. They're going to do 40 concerts in Vegas beginning February the 20th.
Oh, Janet. She's a singer.
Not Janet. No. It's Jermaine, Tito, Jackie, and Marlon. You know.
And a Michael hologram, at least?
I don't believe so. It's going to be a cardboard stand-up. Do you really want to see the backup singers to the Jackson 5?
No, you don't.
I don't think you do at all, no.
They should just leave the lead vocals empty. They just play the music and they go, I want you back. And then they just dance around a little bit.
Let a fan do it. Let's make a karaoke.
It's a great idea.
Somebody different every from the crowd every song.
Every night they pull somebody out of the crowd and he gets to sing Michael's leads on all those classic Jackson 5 and Jackson
5. Hire that kid who took over for Journey. He's good.
That's not the same. Just because he sounds like one guy doesn't mean he sounds like everybody. He's not Fred Travellina, for God's sake.
I thought he did such a good job with the one band. They could save the Jacksons, too.
TV news. Arrested Development star Michael Cera has got a new series.
Excellent.
He's going to be doing a sitcom on FX. I'm guessing. It says FX here, but I'm guessing it'll probably be FXX or FXXX, whatever that comedy spinoff is. The show will feature John Hawks from Deadwood as the host of a kids' science show, a la Bill Nye the Science Guy. Or, of course, Uncle Science. What was that guy I got into the hullabaloo with?
Mr. Wizard.
Was it Uncle Science?
I like Uncle Science, though.
This is awesome, though.
But I think it was on Big Bang Theory, wasn't it, that Bob Newhart played a character like Mr. Science or something like that. He just had a role last year where he played this exact same type of character.
John Hawks will play a Bill Nye the Science Guy type of guy who gets fired from his big show, has to start over in a smaller market, and Michael Cera will play his boss on the show, a show called How and Why. I think there's got a lot of potential to that.
I do, too.
I believe the character in the show will be syndicated. His show will be syndicated.
Are you sure about that, Ralph?
Pretty sure.
You do have a history of not quite understanding.
This science kid show host will be syndicated, I think.
Well, let's go to the tape and find out if you were right about that when you talked to your boyhood hero, Mr. Wizard.
And it was also then syndicated all over the country as well, right?
Well, it wasn't syndicated. It was on a network.
Right, but the next version of the show?
It was live on the network.
Yeah. Right, but then once that show ended, the next version of it, there was a syndicated version as well, right?
No. The next version of it was on Nickelodeon.
Okay, so I guess not.
Poor senile old man didn't even know what his show was doing. I felt bad for him. I felt bad for Uncle Science.
I like that you wouldn't let it go, though, because Uncle Science seemed to know what he was talking about.
Oh, he's addled. It's like Buzz Aldrin.
Science!
He just couldn't saying that.
Silence!
I miss Uncle Science.
Today's or Mr. Wizard, whatever his name is.
That's the problem. Uncle Science Show was syndicated.
Oh, I think
that's
what I got. There it is.
Mixed up. Celebrity birthdays. Mario Van Peebles is 57 years old today. Actor Chad Lowe is 46. Regina King, such a brilliant turn on Southland for her. 43 years old today. Actor Eddie Cahill is 36. Skrillex celebrates his 26th birthday. And rapper Pitbull. You'll party with Pitbull music 150% better. He's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Haley Joel Osment in the studio.
Oh, my buddy.
Talking about Spoils of Babylon. We have Sally Ann Salsano in the studio. She's talking about Party Down South. She puts on the best TV. It's really just freak show.
She is making a living off of our misery.
Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow. Comedian Jay Moore will be here. And Kevin Bacon will be here talking about The Following, which comes back. Very excited about that. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new show.